What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of 52 Day Nerd. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cartney.
And I am the other, Sean Porter. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is episode 26. How was your week, buddy?
Really good, man. Denver Broncos won. One game to the Super Bowl. Pretty excited about that, but that's not really nerd-related at all.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you guys are new to joining us, our name is 5280 Nerd, and 5280 is elevation of the state we live in, or I guess the city we live in, Denver, Colorado. So we're huge Super Bowl-bound Broncos fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're pretty excited here in the city of Denver. So other than that, man, it's nothing really going on. Just gaming. I did something to share with our listeners. I bought a computer monitor that I'm playing with my console, and I'm just killing it now in any game that I play on multiplayer, whether it's Call of Duty or Star Wars Battlefront. It's crazy the difference that it makes. You're closer to the screen, it's fast, it's smooth. So I've been playing a lot more video games than normal because I bought this new BenQ monitor, and it's awesome. So besides that, what's going on with you, man? What's new?
Not much, man. Yeah, I heard about your monitor earlier this week, and it sounds really cool, man. I might have to get me something like that. I'm rocking the 4K TV right now, so the resolution's really good. I don't have any latency. But yeah, man, I hear you. It's nice to be up close and be able to see everything really nice and crisp.
Yeah, I mean, it genuinely makes me play my KD. Since I've played, I've kind of tracked it in each game, and it's significantly better, like almost 1% better. So that's a pretty big deal. So, but yeah, man, I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty Black Ops 3 this week, kind of reawakened that now that the servers are up. I remember when I reviewed it a couple months ago when it came out in December. Well, not a couple months ago. Yeah, about a month ago. The servers were down. I don't know if you remember that review. And now they're working a little bit better. Well, they're functioning now. So it's a pretty fun game online. But other than that, excited to dive into this week. Yeah, it's not doing too bad.
Good.
So
yeah, man, I'm doing good. Same old stuff, just working away, enjoying life. I haven't got to play video games very much lately. Just been kind of busy. Something cool that I did get to do is go check out Hateful Eight, which was something I wanted to give you guys for our 2 cents. A movie that just came out pretty recently. Loved it. Thought it was really good. It's the latest Quentin Tarantino movie to come out. Basically, it's about these bounty hunters that kind of meet up. Samuel L. Jackson and Kurt Russell. It's like the dead of winter in Wyoming. It's like an old Western. I don't know. I felt like it was kind of like a, what's the best way to describe it? Like a play, almost. Like an old Western, super violent play.
Yeah. I get that vibe from the trailer.
Yeah. It was really good. Samuel Jackson's phenomenal. Kurt Russell's really good. Haven't seen him in a ton of stuff in a while, but has always been a great actor. Loved him in all the stuff he's done. Jennifer Jason Lee is like she's like a criminal, and she's phenomenal in it. She plays this really badass, just trashy chick. But yeah, man, it's all these guys get, you know, stuck up in this kind of trading post in the middle of Wyoming because there's this huge storm and a whole bunch of shit happens, like any Quentin Tarantino movie. I guess the best way to describe it would be like Reservoir Dogs in the Wild West. So
sounds right up my alley.
Yeah,
that sounds perfect.
It was really good, man. I think so far, you know, outside of like Star Wars and stuff, I'd put it in, you know, top 5 list of movies I've seen over the last year. So really good.
Yeah. Good, man. You'll have to check it out. I love Samuel L. Jackson, love Tarantino, and we have some news kind of relating to that later in the show. About Quentin Tarantino and his movies. But that's awesome, man. What would you give it out of a 10? If I had to say, what would you give it out of a 10?
I'd give it a solid 9, man. You know, it's not it's not Godfather, but it's pretty great.
Wow, 9's pretty high, so that's a must-see, I would say. But that's awesome, man. Well, let's jump right into the news. Sean dug up this really interesting article, and everyone who has an Apple phone, do you ever wonder why the search engine is Google? It's like a default for your search engine is Google. Well, Google paid Apple $1 billion to be the search engine on your iPhone, and that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, this really interesting report came out, and I saw it on Mashable, just to give them credit for finding the story. Oracle has actually been in a lawsuit for a long time with Apple over some Java technology to build Android phones. It's just like this ridiculous... Everybody sues everybody when you're that big of a company. Everybody says, you're stealing this from me, and they're stealing this from me, and this is my idea, and this is my idea, whatever. So it's this huge... lawsuit going on. Didn't really have anything to do with Google's search engine or anything like that, but part of the evidence that they submitted was the fact that Google had paid Apple $1 billion to make it the default search engine on the iPhone, and also on top of that they received a royalty for any revenue generated from that search engine from on an iPhone. So like people pay AdSense campaigns or Google Ads, any of that stuff, they got like, they said 34%, and they weren't clear on if 34% was going to Google or to Apple, but either way both companies were really upset that this news got out into the media, and asked that the court stricken it from its records. And yeah, we're pretty upset, which I get, because it probably damages any future dealings that they have with other companies, because they're like, from now on, you know, if, I don't know, Apple or Windows approached them and said, well, you gave Apple $1 billion, why'd you only give us $1 million or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but the damage is already done.
Yeah, for sure.
It doesn't matter if the court takes it off the records now, everybody knows. But yeah, that's crazy, man. That kind of seems, a billion's a lot, but there's a, how many iPhones in the world are there?
For like, sure. And Google, I think it made $66 billion last year.
Yeah.
Last year. So it's like they're not hurting for money and a one-time, you know, payout like that to keep on top, you know? Like you said, it's probably the number one phone out there. I don't know what really is, but it's got to be way up there. Everybody I know owns an iPhone. Or has at least owned an iPhone, one of the generations of it. So.
Yeah, no, that's pretty crazy news, man. Yeah, $1 billion. I mean, that sounds like a good deal to me. Yeah, default. I mean, no one else is going to be like, you know, I really prefer Yahoo's search engine over Google. No, everyone uses whatever's defaulted, and Google's better than Bing, in my opinion. And it's just easier. It just gets.
I'm just used to it, if anything. Like. Yeah. I don't know if it's better. I've tried Bing before. I wasn't really a big fan. But I don't know. Maybe there are better ones out there. And maybe... I'm sure if you built search engines, it's probably really hard to get into that market because you're competing with a company that could pay Apple $1 billion to put theirs first.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's interesting, and I don't think it's going to change. I mean, I think everybody... I mean, in our culture for... a decade now, I'd say everyone's just Google it. I mean, everyone, it's part of our like human culture to like, if you have a question, Google it. So,
and they've expanded they expanded their business so far out. I mean, they do produce their own Android phones and tablets. Right now, for instance, we're using Google Hangouts to do our podcast, and we use it with a lot of our guests and stuff. So they're in all markets, and they're making a crazy amount of money. And I'm sure, you know, one of the top producers of that is their search engine, because they do have a lot of advertising revenue that comes through there. But yeah, I did hear too this week that, the CEO or the former CEO, Firefox, he left, I think a year ago, and he's starting his own, browser. Company, I guess, and it's supposed to be like from the get go, it blocks ads entirely, like 100%. And so there's like, it's like a built-in ad blocker already set up, which Firefox is kind of known for. A lot of people use it because there is a lot of really good ad blocking software that you could incorporate into your browser. So, but that, I mean, that's kind of interesting. But again, like, that's such a tough market to get into. I mean, you're competing with Chrome or, you know,
Firefox.
Yeah, Firefox.
Safari.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And
Safari is the worst out of them.
Yeah, I don't know. It has its good points. It integrates really well with Apple products. But yeah, I would agree that it's not necessarily the best. It runs the fastest.
I use Chrome.
On Apple.
Yeah. That's true. I use Chrome because it's easy. But yeah, I mean, that's just, yeah, I agree. If I have a bunch of money to invest into creating something, it's not going to be a web browser. It's just way too competitive. It's too risky because everyone's kind of set in the ways of what software that they use. But either way, that's really, really interesting news. I have actually wondered why Google's default on my iPhone. I guess I assumed that they paid them. I mean,
yeah,
they wouldn't do it for free.
I never thought it would. Yeah, I don't know. It does make sense now that you hear it. I guess I just kind of, like you, I figured, like, well, it's the best one, right? Like, why wouldn't you? And I know Google and Apple had a much stronger relationship in the past, and I know they've kind of went their own way since Google started making their own phones and everything. But yeah, I mean, I kind of just always figured Apple and Google were good friends. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, well, you're a trillionaire. We're trillionaires. Why don't we hang out? Like, we're in an exclusive club together. We have huge campuses, and every smart person works for us. So,
must be really hard.
Yeah,
all that money
for sure, man. Yeah. So moving along in news, we don't want to burden you guys too much with tech news, but some movie news. The Mummy is getting a reboot, and not like not the like '90s Mummy or whatever. It's like the original Universal Monsters Mummy movie is getting a reboot, and Tom Cruise has actually officially signed on as to play the lead in that movie, as well as Sofia Boutella is on board to play the classic monster. Alex Kurtzman is directing it. Looks like it's going to come out next year in 2017, like June 9th. But yeah, man, I'm a huge fan of the Universal Monsters. So I think it's cool that they're gonna be doing this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Tom Cruise is a crazy person, but he makes really good movies.
For sure. I mean, I could totally see him in like a Universal Monster remake, you know? Like a classic era. I don't know if they're gonna try to keep it more like vintage feel, or if they're gonna try to completely update it. What was the other one? Who was the guy? Gosh, he was like a huge actor for a while.
In the 90s, did all those action movies.
Yeah, well, you know, he did like The Mummy and The Mummy Returns.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. He's got the... hang on, let me look it up. I'm going to find it in a second. Brendan Fraser? Is that
Brendan Fraser, yeah, absolutely. Those movies are okay, but hopefully they're better than that.
He hasn't done anything in a long time.
Yeah,
wonder what happened to him.
I don't know. Who knows, man? Made too
he
many
catch
bad
those
movies.
Checks, though.
Yeah, he's still raking it, I'm sure. But yeah, either way, I'm looking forward to it. I know Universal actually announced that they're going to do a whole series of these films individually that are based on the Universal Monsters, classic monsters, and kind of do an Avengers-style tie-in film with all of them. So, like, Wolfman and Dracula, Frankenstein, which we've seen tons of, you know, vampire movies and Frankenstein movies and werewolf movies. So it'll be cool to see their twist on the, you know, the originals and Swamp, not Swamp Thing. Whatever his name is. Thing from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'll be cool. I think that's a good idea. I mean, somebody must have really loved these characters to make a movie at Universal, because I don't see it yet, but I'm sure that they could make something really cool out of it. There's been a lot of Dracula movies, though. That's the thing, man. Like,
yeah, but based off like the original classic ones, I think that'll be really cool.
To me, I could see it like a comedy, but if they're going to do like a serious action movie, that'd be interesting, too, so... We'll have to see. That I think that's pretty good. I like Tom Cruise, and I think he'd be good for that role. But speaking of movies, I know you just saw The Hateful Eight. Last week, Quentin Tarantino confirmed that all of his movies are connected in the same movie universe. So Kill Bill, Reservoir Dogs, Hateful Eight, all of them are connected in their own movie universe. Pretty interesting. No director has ever accomplished that or done that. But in a quote from Polygon.com, the acclaimed director of Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill, confirmed that all of his movies exist in the same shared universe. In an interview with an Australian television show, The Project, earlier this week, but with a unique twist. Tarantino explained that his movies have one of two roles. They're realer than real universe. So yeah, he says there's a chance that he might tie some of these characters in. So From Dusk Till Dawn and Kill Bill might be tied together in some way in a future movie, or Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction. Either way, this is a pretty interesting to see what he's going to do with that, because there has been rumors of another Kill Bill coming out, and that would be really cool if he incorporated characters from Pulp Fiction in the Kill Bill. Do you know what I mean? Or he incorporated characters from any one of his movies, from the Reservoir Dogs. What do you think about this, Sean?
No, it's really interesting. I mean, I felt like the best way I could describe Hateful Eight was it was like Western. It was like the Western version of Reservoir Dogs. Yeah, and I know a lot of his actors and actresses are, you know, he uses them a lot in all of his films. A big one he uses a ton lately is that Tim Roth, who plays like that Nazi hunter, or that Nazi like Jew hunter guy, and and he's in Hateful Eight as well. He plays like this German, I don't know, he's like a hangman or something. But a lot of the guys, like Michael Madsen, he was in Reservoir Dogs and he's in Hateful Eight. So I know he uses a lot of the same characters. Samuel Jackson has been in a ton of his movies as well. Yeah, I could see how he could try to, he's smart enough definitely to work all those together. And I'm sure I could see it being in his mind all the way along that, like, oh, okay, I'm going to make this movie. And then I'm going to make 12 years down the road, I'm going to make this movie that's like going to tie into this movie. Because he's definitely he's a genius when it comes to directing and writing. So
yeah, this makes me excited since we do have The Hateful Eight now out. And I was just thinking, you know, that'd be cool if in the future he incorporated those characters in the same movie. He has created all these awesome movies, and he's kind of his own brand of director. He has his own style of movies, obviously. I just thought it was really unique that he announced that they're all connected in the same universe. So I thought we could mention that.
And I did read somewhere that he said the reason he picked eight or whatever, like the reason it was Hateful Eight, is because this is his eighth film that he wrote and produced, which makes sense.
Nice.
Again, to keep tying it in, I'm sure for him it makes a lot of sense that way. So
yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, moving right along. So, The Force Awakens, Star Wars, we loved it. A lot of new characters. Something that I just heard, you know, Marvel owns the Star Wars comic rights now. They acquired that from Dark Horse last year. You know, Disney owns Marvel, and Marvel and Disney also owns Star Wars. So, it trickles down the chain of command, you can see there. But, so yeah, Marvel's done a pretty good job with the Star Wars comics so far. I've read a couple of them, but The Force Awakens Poe is getting his own comic book, which I thought was really great because he was such a great new addition to the Star Wars universe. What do you think about that, Sean?
I think that's great, man. Yeah, I think I really appreciated and enjoyed his character, and I know the next movie that's coming out is supposed to be like a side story, has a lot to do with him. A lot more to do with like the pilots and stuff, and kind of tells where he came from. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. I think I never really gotten to the Star Wars comics in the past. I've read a few here and there over the years. But yeah, I mean, it might be something worth picking back up and getting interested into. I felt like prior to Disney kind of taking everything back over, there were so many side stories and you didn't know what was like going to officially make it as canon. And I feel like Disney's done a really good job of reining all that back in and saying like, okay, no, this is what's produced. This is going to be in line with what we're producing as far as like the cinema world, or the books or whatever. So yeah, man, I think it's a really good time to get back into trying to read some of those and catching up on them. I know I've heard a lot of really good things about the Darth Vader series that they kicked off with through Marvel. So yeah, man, I'd be really interested to checking out.
Yeah. So just some details before we move on. Poe Dameron, I think is his, how you pronounce his last name, will be written by Charles Soule, also no stranger to the Star Wars universe, having written Star Wars Lando Ministries, and recently also launched Obi-Wan and the Universe, Obi-Wan and Anakin ongoing series. Apparently this guy, Charles Soule, has also wrote two other comic book series that are Star Wars, so it makes sense that Marvel would want to keep him in the same universe of writing. But yeah, they also say that this goes into some detail of like C-3PO in the movie that wasn't explained, and other characters in the movie that wasn't explained. Disney's definitely taking care of this property, and they know that there are diehard fans out there who love the lore behind the Star Wars, and they'll read those novels that are like 400 pages or comic books. They just love to get all of the genealogy and history as much as they can. And with these new movies, it's put out there a whole whole thing of new characters and new things to research and learn. So I just thought that was something we should mention. Pretty cool that he's getting his own comic book. I loved him in the new Star Wars Force Awakens. So yeah, man, thought we should mention that.
Yeah, no doubt. And I know like BB-8 is his droid or whatever, or is his like his buddy. Like C-3PO was Luke's, and I know BB-8 has been like a huge success with fans. You know, everybody loves him. He's an adorable little guy. So that's cool that he'll be in those comic books, and it'd be cool to see his backstory too a little bit more, like their relationship, because it kind of touches on it a little bit in the movie. Like he's trying to find him the whole movie. BB-8 is, you know, the whole first part of the movie searching for Poe and to try to get back to him. But it'd be cool to see how, you know, see them in other battles and how they've helped each other through whatever they've gone through. So
yeah,
built that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of unexplained stories there that you that Marvel's giving you a chance to read to get more in depth with that character. So if you're interested in that, check it out. But moving right along, Netflix has surpassed 75 million subscribers. That's pretty staggering. We have some statistics to read about that, but I mean, Netflix isn't going away anytime soon. 75 million subscribers worldwide is nothing to scoff at. Most of Netflix growth continues from international regions. I know they've done a real push internationally. So it makes sense that the company would benefit from that market. So this quarter, Netflix added 1.56 million subscribers, coming in under their target goal. It did, however, add 4 million international subscribers, which surpassed their original goal of 3.5 million. So 4 million of international subscribers outside of the United States is pretty big, and it only has room and space to grow. So that's pretty impressive. One more thing before I get your take on this, Sean. They've also committed to investing $6 billion into its original programming entertainment and doubling the amount of original content it's produced in 2015. That's exciting. But $6 billion, I mean, there's going to be some A-list celebrities. There already have been A-list celebrities involved with Netflix original series, but really, I mean, $6 billion. I think we're going to see maybe, I bet you in the future, Steven Spielberg might do an original series, or who knows, even George Lucas, you know, if he wants to get back in the game. It's a great, great way for these directors to make great content. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's insane how big it's grown. You know, I read a story also last week that I didn't put into the news, but it relates to the fact that, like, I guess the CEO of Netflix came out because NBC was kind of taking pot shots at Netflix and Hulu and stuff, and was saying, like, some of their digital content, like, oh, how proud they were that their online content was getting seen, and not calling it, like, a real network. And, like, I guess the CEO of Netflix came out and defended, you know, Netflix and said, hey, you know, we're winning awards over here. I don't know what you're doing. We're producing original content. We're also have all these contracts with all these huge companies and all these other media outlets. So, you know, definitely Netflix is a force to be reckoned with. You know, like you said, 75 million subscribers. I think right now the average subscription is what, like $7.99? So you're looking at,
I
think,
like, it's a little higher than that. Did they bump it up last year a dollar or something? I think it's $8.99.
I think it was
$6.99. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think it was $6.99. Now it's $7.99. And, like, I think there's, like, a 4K version that's like $12 a month. But even if you think, like, $7.99 on average, you're looking at, like, over $600 million a month that they're producing in revenue. So, yeah, you look at that and you realize, like, oh, yeah, they definitely have money to produce, you know, all this great stuff. And not to mention, you know, people are, you know, they're getting paid by a lot of these, like, sometimes a lot of big companies will pay them to produce or push forward their movies, I'm sure. You know, put my movie at the top of your screen or whatever, like, and I'm sure there's, like, brackets for all that stuff. I don't know, maybe not. But yeah, man, I mean, that's insane how big it is. And, you know, I appreciate they're always updating their content. They're always on top of it. Their original content that they're creating is phenomenal. Some of my favorite shows right now are on Netflix. Daredevil, Jessica Jones has been really good. I'm excited to see what else they do with that Marvel property. Yeah, man, just a lot of really good content. I mean, Orange is the New Black, it goes on and on, you know, House of Cards, they really got it down, you know, and I feel like, it seems like from what I've heard too, like, a lot of the creative producers and writers and actors really appreciate their platform, because it seems like when they go to produce things with them, they're pretty open to whatever, like, they kind of don't have the restrictions that you have with a lot of big networks as far as, like, your language or what you can do and what you can't do, because it's an online resource. It's like a website, basically. Like, there's no one to really regulate what you can and can't do on it. So, yeah, man, it seems like, and they seem like they're more willing to take chances than, like, a big network also.
Yeah. Yeah. And just off the top of my head, I was just thinking, you know, Masters of None, that new Aziz Ansari. I mean, that won a Critics' Choice Award. I remember I watched the other night. It's very, I mean, they have a bunch of awards that I know House of Cards got a lot of awards. I know Orange is the New Black got tons of awards.
Yeah. Making a Murderer has gotten, like, nominated for a bunch of stuff. And
yeah, I think they're at the point where they're such a superpower. They're kind of like a Universal Studios or a Warner Brothers, where people already come to them with their script and they're saying, hey, will you fund this? Or, hey, will you fund the show? They'll check the script and almost, like, run a pilot and see if the bigwigs at Netflix like it. And then if they like it, they'll fund it. That's a good place to be, and that's where they can choose, you know, great content to put out there. So, interesting.
I know, if you guys don't listen to this, I'm a huge fan of Kevin Smith, who's a director and everything. And he actually... I've heard him speak a couple times to the fact that he produced this movie called Tusk, and it was more of a joke than anything. But it was like this just independent film he created, and he put up the money himself for, and he got some money from some other investors, but made it on a shoestring budget. It has like Elijah Woods in it, a whole bunch of other characters and actors, Johnny Depp. But anyways, so he made this movie, and typically he said it costs like twice as much to promote a movie than it is to create a movie, almost any time that you're doing it. No matter if it's a blockbuster or independent film, it just costs an insane amount of money to get it out there to people. And he said for the first time he was able to produce this movie because he was able to go to Netflix, who paid Kevin Smith $1 million to have rights to show his film to its subscribers, because they knew its subscribers are more into independent stuff and like that kind of stuff in that genre, and to have exclusive access to it was a big deal. And he said that $1 million paid back almost the entire budget that it cost to make the film. And so on top of that, and then other releases that he had, he was able to produce his film by himself, which was never been able to be done before until Netflix and their platform was able to provide that. So I'm sure a ton of people can recognize that and see that. And for like a small short film like that, and like you just said too, they're pouring $6 billion into original programming. That includes probably movies and stuff like that, or to purchase independent films that people are creating and producing. Which is, yeah, it's just great, man. It's good all around for everybody, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's awesome. And before we move on, I guess Mashables had some tips and tricks to see some hidden categories. Could you explain this to me?
Yeah, so just like a quick little tip and trick, because me and Micah, if you guys listen, we're obviously big fans of Netflix. Not sponsored by them, but if you guys want to sponsor, send some of that $6 billion our way. Love to take it. But yeah, Mashable had this article, and we'll link it in our show notes, that because there is a lot of content on there, and it's always changing, and sometimes it's hard to find things, and I know sometimes I'll like search through for a long time, and I like won't pick anything. It takes me forever to find something I actually want to watch, because I'm so interested in, like, oh my god, what is this? What is that? But yeah, there's this like new super search menu that they've created. But Mashable found all the codes, so you could actually find more specific search terms that you want to find, like anime, or like a certain kind of anime, or like westerns, or like things that are outside of like their traditional like six or seven main categories. These like break it down to pretty minute categories. And you're able just to put the URL in plus this little code. It works the best on a browser. I haven't tried it on my TV yet. But you could just use your browser, find those things that you want to watch, put it in your list, and then it'll be on your device if you're watching it like through Apple TV or on your TV itself. But yeah, it's this really cool list. We'll definitely link it for you guys. Super helpful. I just found it today and I was looking through it, and it was like a super fast way just to find whatever you want to look at, whatever you're interested in. Some of like the categories it breaks it down into are like comedies, classic westerns, classic war movies, crime thrillers, cult comedies, epics, French movies, foreign films, horror comedy. So it's like a lot more broken down, and there's probably, I don't know, I would say like 100 of these subcategories.
Yeah, that's really interesting and good. And if anything, we've been so positive about Netflix, and I have Hulu, and Sean has Hulu as well. We like Hulu. If there's anything that Netflix and Hulu could do to improve their service, it'd be their search engines and how they divide these shows up when you're actually looking on the app itself. I think that they definitely need. I mean, they have like action comedy, but there's, I don't know, it just seems too blah. It's not showing you shows that, you know, that should be suggested for you right away compared to what's in your queue or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's something that they should work on. You shouldn't have to go to Mashables and go through some third party person to find a better way to find hidden categories in Netflix or Hulu or whatever. But it's good that somebody's doing that, because it can get frustrating at times, because the stuff is changing so often in Netflix and Hulu. So pretty cool. I'll be sure to link that in the show notes.
Yeah, and that's like another little segment we wanted to add for you guys. If we find like cool little tips or tricks, we always want to share those with you guys so you could make your life a little easier, you know? It's always nice to get a little bit more out of us, as much as we can give.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so this last part we wanted to talk about, that was kind of like the news that we had for the week. DC had some really interesting news come out about their DC Extended Universe and their movie universe that they're doing. And we kind of wanted to go over everything that they're doing. We've heard all these rumors about these different DC films and this, like, this attempt to kind of take on the Avengers movies and create the Justice League film franchise. And they finally came out with a lot more specific dates on a lot of these movies and when they're coming out and who's going to be in them and all this stuff. It's starting to come together, and it's massive. It's huge. And we wanted to give you guys a quick breakdown and just to help you get your mind around what's coming up for them, which is there's just a ton of stuff. I'm super excited about it. Always been much more of a DC fan than a Marvel fan. I love Marvel, don't get me wrong, but I've just always had a special soft spot in my heart for DC, mainly because of Batman. He's my favorite. But yeah, all their other side characters are phenomenal and amazing as well. So I guess to kick it off, there are going to be a ton of movies coming out over the next couple of years, which it all started with Man of Steel, which came out in 2013, which I loved that movie. I thought it was great. I thought to start off this franchise with such a great reboot of a movie that I feel like just hasn't hit the mark in a long, long time. They really nailed it, you know. They hit the nail on the head on that one. So
yeah, I mean, Henry Cavill, I mean, for them to get a reboot of a Superman right, I think it all surrounds about casting the right Clark Kent, and Henry Cavill was definitely that character. I'd say he's not, who would you say is the best Superman played ever? Reeves or...
I say Henry Cavill. I mean...
I think so, too. I mean, Reeves was great and classic and iconic, but I feel like once we get Batman vs. Superman under our belt and the Justice League, Henry Cavill is really going to be cemented in a lot of other people's minds as the best Superman.
Yeah. I feel like and probably not his fault, but the Christopher Reeves, it just had that kitschy feel. They were making a comic book movie and they had to make sure that you knew it. And it was like real kitschy and like they had to make it, you feel like, oh, you don't know, I'm Superman. Now I'm Clark Kent. And like, it just made it very like, I don't know. It made it like they were really trying hard to make it like obvious that it was a comic book and that it's retarded. These people don't know that he's Superman. And there's like just these like little silly things that I felt like Man of Steel really took an effort to make it feel as realistic as possible. Like made him a lot more of a deep character, a lot more emotional, dealing and struggling with a lot more as far as like where he came from and his adopted parents and him dealing with like him not being from Earth, being an alien, and falling in love and like how to deal with all this and what's the right thing to do and what's the wrong thing to do. And there's like this struggle within himself that's a lot deeper than anything I've ever seen before. And I'm sure that has a lot more to do with the writing than the actors themselves. But
yeah. And and for sure it was older movies. So, special effects weren't what they are now. And probably they couldn't get away with dark content in the 80s probably. But Christopher Reeves will always go down as a classic, great performance of Superman. But I agree, Henry Cavill has stolen the show. I think he's the best.
He just looks Superman like it, ever. Man. Like from being kid to now, my whole perception of Superman, I feel like he captures it. You know, and I've seen all the old ones, read a ton of comic books, but he just plays that character well. Like he just comes across as Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They just nailed casting on that one.
Yeah, I agree. And DC had to get the first movie right to start all of this DC Extended Universe, Cinematic Universe they had to get it right the first movie, but the one that is chronologically and the one that's coming out just around the corner, which we're very excited about, is Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. Comes out March 25th. We're right around the corner. And
can't wait.
I know that it's going to be great. I still have some reserves about Ben Affleck as Batman, but I have confidence that it's going to be good. But I know there's still some, even on the internet, there's still some buzz about them making the wrong decision as casting Ben Affleck as Batman. We'll see. I'm still excited for this movie, more, even more than the Suicide Squad, Sean.
I think it's going to be phenomenal. I think, as far as like, it's definitely more of a Grant Morrison type Batman. And I think that older kind of brooding Batman, especially because the Batman versus Superman, the whole premise of it is he's coming out of retirement to take on Superman because he feels like he needs to be put in check. I just think he's so good at that role, man. Every trailer I've seen, because I was very doubtful at first, but every trailer I've seen is phenomenal. His character just looks great. Every rumor I've heard from it, I mean, they gave him a 3-movie deal to be Batman after just seeing, you know, the first cut of Batman versus Superman. The studios gave him that because they felt like he did such a great job and carried the movie so well. It's just, yeah, man, I'm really excited to see it. I think everything I've seen looks great. I don't even know, man. It just blows my mind, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited. I see more of it as a Frank Miller Batman.
Yeah,
as the old brooding Batman. But I still am not 100% confident. I think he'll pull it off. And that is a great way to change up the Batman, Bruce Wayne's character, because in cinematic form, Bruce Wayne's always been kind of not old and brooding and like beat to hell. I mean, kind of with Christian Bale in the, why can't I think of the third one? The Dark Knight Rises. He was kind of, his knees were giving out on him, and yeah, his body was beat to hell, but, this is different. This is different with the kind of Bruce Wayne that Ben Affleck's going to play. I'm excited. I think it's going to be great. I just hope that, I don't know. I just, there's something that I just hope he doesn't fuck it up. Cause,
for sure.
This isn't like Star Wars. This isn't a guaranteed great, amazing movie, right? Can we agree on that? I mean, Star Wars was, there was a better chance of that being an amazing blockbuster movie that you couldn't go wrong. It was going to be great no matter what, because there's a lot more pressure on Star Wars than there is on Batman vs. Superman, but...
Yeah, I guess I could see that. I think it's going to be phenomenal, though. I mean, Man of Steel was great. They've had more time to refine it. Zack Snyder is a phenomenal director. I think it's going to be good all around. Hopefully it is. I mean, I want to go into it with a positive attitude. I don't want to be like one of those fanboys that hates it from the get-go and it just whines and bitches about little things. Like we saw with Star Wars, people are always going to hate things just because that's what people do. But moving along, we got Suicide Squad's coming out shortly after that. That's August 5th of 2016. There was a new Suicide Squad trailer and it was fucking phenomenal, dude. It blew my
so
mind.
Good with the Queen Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
I love that they chose that song, and it gave such a more, it's such a better view into this movie and into Harley Quinn and Killer Croc, and even way more obviously into the character we care about the most, the Joker. I'm very excited for this. August 5th, 2016, this year. Can't wait. I think is a lock. That's going to be incredible. Jared Leto's Joker is going to be so good. I hope, you know, going down the line, are we going to see Jared Leto again? Because, you know, we got Wonder Woman, Justice League, The Flash, Aquaman, Shazam, Justice League. Maybe in Ben Affleck's 3-part trilogy. Yeah, we'll see him. But
I'm almost positive that I think he's definitely going to be part of that. From what I've heard or seen. Leaked, you know, Batman definitely makes an appearance, I guess, in Suicide Squad.
He does, yeah.
So hopefully that happens, because yeah, I feel like if that for sure happens and that wasn't just part of like trying to build hype, we're definitely gonna see Jared Leto again. I was more worried about, I thought Will Smith was not gonna pull off Deadshot, but he looks so good in this new trailer that came out. I thought he looked phenomenal. He had this like tormented vibe about him that you don't normally see Will Smith with. Tom Hardy looked really good as Rick Flag. I don't know who the guy who played Captain Boomerang, but his character looked really cool. Yeah, man, I was just super impressed by all of them. I thought like their whole characters looked really well done. Killer Croc, which I'm sure has just got to be so hard to pull off and not make look cheesy, they did a good job. So
yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. The new trailer definitely set it off for me. Very excited. August 5th again. So moving right along, we'll kind of just jet through these because there's not too much information. I know Wonder Woman is still shooting, I think, right now. That comes out June 23rd, 2017. We all wanted Chris Pine. I know I did, and a big community of the DC Universe fans wanted to see Chris Pine as Green Lantern. But he is not. He is Wonder Woman's love interest in this Wonder Woman movie. And that was upsetting to me. But I still think Gal Gadot is going to do a great job. And we get to see a little snippet of her in Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. So maybe I'll get more excited once I see Batman vs. Superman and I see her in action in that movie. But until then, there's really nothing to get me super excited. I love the character of Wonder Woman. And I think there's a lot of great things you could do with a script for that, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, Chris Pine, is going to play Steve Trevor, which, yeah, it's not as big of a role as I thought he would have gotten being, like, the star of Star Trek and stuff. But maybe that's, like, all he could commit to doing, because I know there's a bunch more Star Trek supposed to come out. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Wonder Woman, yeah, like you said, I haven't really read a ton of her stuff, but I've always seen her and read a lot of her stuff as far as being part of the Justice League. I'm curious to see like the incorporation and like who makes a cameo in her movies and how it kind of drives the story forward. Obviously, it's got to be a pretty significant part to put it so early on in the lineup. I mean, it comes out before the first Justice League movie. But yeah, I think it's going to be really good, but that's June 3rd. So for right now we're looking at like every 6 months, we're going to be seeing like a new DC Universe movie, which is incredible. To think for like the next 10 years, we're going to see like every 6 months, a Star Wars movie and a DC movie. Like,
it's going to be good.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to be going to the movies a lot.
I know. I'm going to be broke. So I'm just going to movies.
Yeah. So, moving right along, we have the Justice League Part 1. This will be released November 17th, 2017. Yeah, I mean, we're going to have Henry Cavill as Superman, Ben Affleck as Batman, Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman, The Flash is Ezra Miller, Cyborg Ray Fisher, and Aquaman is Jason Momoa. His role is most known for Game of Thrones. He played one of the Blood Riders in Game of Thrones. So the only question that makes me excited about the Justice League, I'm very excited for this, Sean. I am just very curious, what villain are they going to be fighting? Is it going to be Brainiac? Is it going to be Darkseid? Probably not Doomsday, because that's Batman versus Superman he's in. But depending on the villain, I think will make this movie a lot better and we'll get fans a lot more excited. I hope they pick a really good villain. What do you think about all this?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope it's got to be somebody pretty epic. I would guess probably Doomsday would probably be my... For all of them to come together, you'd have to have like a pretty epic
villain. Not Darkseid? Do you think Doomsday? Because Doomsday is going to be in Batman vs. Superman. He's the one that kind of looks like a Ninja Turtle to you in that.
Yeah, but he... I think they I don't know. I feel like they're gonna push him out, because I think it's gonna be more about Batman and Superman. And they're going to figure out a way to get rid of him, but I think he comes back because Doomsday is in the comic book world, the ultimate weapon. He's the guy who beats Superman. But yeah, I could see Darkseid as well. Maybe like a combination. Maybe Darkseid brings him back. I feel like it's... I think we're just going to see a little bit of Doomsday. I could be wrong. I'm just making guesses here. But either way, I think it's going to be phenomenal. They showed a poster of like their first like concept release of the Justice League, and it has all these guys standing up, and it looks insane. It looks amazing. The concept art for it looks crazy, and I know all these guys are supposed to make cameos in Batman versus Superman, so I'm kind of curious to see how those guys all kind of fit in and how much they're in the movie. But we'll see, man. I guess the next movie up right after Justice League Part 1, we're going to see The Flash. That comes out March 23rd, 2018. And this is a different Flash than the one we've seen on CW. This is going to be the actor Ezra Miller, which a lot of people are really upset about. A lot of fans of The Flash really like CW's guy. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. They're really upset about it, which I could see. I think he does a great job, the Barry Allen character. But I mean, I get it. I get like, I think his name is Grant Gustin. He did come out and he said that he fully supports Ezra and that he's here to help him with any notes or thoughts on how to play the character. And he's like, he's shooting for him. He said he's happy doing what he's doing. He's loving doing the series, and you know, so he has no bad feelings towards it, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the story is. Hopefully they throw Gorilla Grodd in there. Hopefully it'll be some good, or, you know, the trickster.
Ezra Miller's a pretty young kid, and I know his movie's not coming out until 2018, but they got to be doing kind of like an origin almost on him, because he's pretty young. And maybe that's why they picked him over that other guy, because he's getting older.
I'll be all these movies that we're going to announce. I'm curious about the villains, what the story's going to be, obviously. But the Flash is great. I mean, there's so many good villains. I mean, Boomerang's in the Suicide Squad, so maybe he'll show up in the Flash, because I know that's him and Captain Cold are huge nemesis of Barry Allen, the Flash. So it'd be interesting to see if it's just going to be a Captain Cold or what, but very interesting. Moving right along, we have Aquaman. That's July 27th, 2018. Again, this is so far in the future. It's hard to say anything. The one after this that I'm least excited for is Shazam. I don't think that's a character that they should have focused on. I don't know why. I just don't see why he's even in the mix, but that's just me. That's April 5th, 2019. So we're getting really far out there.
Yeah. And that's really, really, really far out. But you know, I mean, I get it. It's probably like kind of like filler. Cause it comes out right before the next one to come out after that is Justice League Part 2. Which is June 14th, 2019. So I guess Shazam, they kind of throw him in there. They probably have to add a new character before the second one comes out, because all these other characters have been in the first one, and then they're getting their own movies, and they have a second one. You got to build that repertoire up a little bit. Maybe somebody dies, he's got to fill that spot. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty interesting. And then after that, Justice League Part 2. That's going to be June 14th, 2019. Very excited that they're doing a part two with the whole crew. And then Cyborg, that comes out April 3rd, 2020. What I'm most excited for that's after all of this is Green Lantern Corps, June 19th, 2020. And that is forever away. Yeah. Very right? Upset that they didn't put the Green Lantern Corps first, because they don't have a Green Lantern in the Justice League Part 1. At least not that we heard or know of, and I don't think there is. That's frustrating to me. He's a huge part of the Justice League. I don't know.
They said so. Kevin Smith actually did an interview with Geoff Johns who's the DC chief creative officer. So he's like the guy who's in charge of making sure all this stuff lines up and looks amazing. He did an interview with him. He's actually the one that got him. Kevin Smith was the one that got him to confirm that Green Lantern, or the Green Lantern Corps, is going to be appearing in the upcoming Justice League movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The first one.
Yes, in okay. the first one. They're going to be part of all of it. They're, you know, the intergalactic police force will appear in, I'm guessing probably most of these movies will be intertwined. I don't know why they're waiting so long to finally get to their own movie. Maybe just to put enough time between their last attempt at it to the newest one. Because, you know, it's still pretty fresh on people's mind that movie kind of flopped. With Ryan Reynolds, and so maybe they just felt like, I thought it was good, I thought it was fine, but I could definitely see it not fitting into this genre, like the way that they're filming them now, I could see it not fitting into that, the original one.
Yeah, and for the record, I agree with you. Green Lantern Corps with Ryan Reynolds, I thought it was great. I'm so sad we lost him to Marvel, because he was a great Green Lantern. He was perfect Hal Jordan. He was a smirky, snarky, funny-witted, strong-willed, perfect for the role. And I'm just so mad that DC let him get away and they didn't plan the movie better. That was definitely a mistake. But I'm excited for it. And then, moving right along, we have Ben Affleck, the Batman trilogy. These dates aren't confirmed yet. So
yeah, I'm guessing they're going to be sprinkled throughout kind of where things fit in. From what I've heard, he's kind of got carte blanche, and he's able to, they're going to kind of let him do whatever he wants. He's going to star in them, Ben Affleck, and then also direct them, which he is a great director. He did The Town and all these other ones. I'm really excited to see that. And like you said, hopefully we'll see the Joker. We'll see Jared Leto's Joker throughout all these, and we'll see an epic battle, you know, progress over time with these two. Yeah, looking forward to that for sure. But that kind of wraps it up. That's we kind of wanted to give you guys this great picture of all these awesome movies that are going to be coming out. Like I said, I can't believe that we're living in a time where for the next 10 years we're going to see every 6 months a Star Wars movie and a DC movie. It's just blowing my mind. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. So Sean, moving to our Q&A. I got a question for you. What DC movie are you most excited for?
Man, I think Justice League Part 1. Just to see all these. I mean, I know we're going to see a glimpse of it in Batman versus Superman, and I'm the most excited to see that because it's right around the corner. But ultimately, just seeing a Justice League movie that's legitimately all these dudes fighting together and these ladies. And what other side characters are going to throw in that don't necessarily get their own movies or whatever. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of those guys too. I can't wait. I think it's going to be amazing. And like you said, who knows who they're going to fight, and whew, it's a big deal. It's going to be pretty epic.
Yeah, I agree. Just because Batman vs. Superman is so close, it's hard to not put that on the top of the list. I can't wait for that movie. But I agree. Justice League is number one probably for me too. A second is the Green Lantern Corps. I just really want that to be done and done right. I really am curious who they're going to cast for that. But I'm a big Green Lantern fan. Love even just the Green Lantern Corps. All the characters surrounding that universe. I love the whole premise of just the Guardians. And I don't know. I just love that whole story of the Green Lantern Corps. And Kilowog and just all these crazy aliens that are these policemen, essentially, for the universe. And it just fascinated me. I love it. So I'm really bummed that it's not coming sooner. But, Sean, who are you bummed that they're missing? Is there any villain or is there any hero that you're mad that they're missing out on?
You know, I'm like you. I'm a little bummed that we're not seeing a Green Lantern movie until 2020. But I kind of get the wanting to put space between Ryan Reynolds and that. Green Arrow is also a huge, is a huge favorite of mine. So I would love to see that. I think that would be a really interesting story. I know we have a CW show, and maybe they're trying not to pull too much away from CW or whatever, trying to pull too much away from what they're trying to do, but I think that would be phenomenal. I'd love to see that. I would love to see a new Robin. You know, see what that would look like. I don't know if maybe Ben Affleck's going to incorporate that later on. Anybody for you that really stands out that we're missing?
Green Arrow was up there. My favorite, besides Bruce Wayne, is Dick Grayson. Always wanted to see a Nightwing movie. I don't think I'll ever see it, but Dick Grayson's a fascinating character to me in the Batman universe. Who knows, in the Batman trilogy with Ben Affleck, maybe they throw some stuff in there with Dick Grayson. I don't know. Maybe they'll throw Joseph Gordon-Levitt in there. That would be awesome. But yeah, I've always wanted to just see a standalone Nightwing film. That's just me.
No, that'd be great. Martian Manhunter would be cool to see.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to put him in there anywhere. Yeah, man, there's a lot of characters. I mean, I could even go for some Booster Gold, maybe.
Yeah, the Hawk Girl and Hawk Man, they aren't in there. What am I trying to think? The Firestorm, the two guys that become one. Why can't I think of it? It's Firestorm, isn't it?
Or Firestorm, yeah, that's his name.
Yeah, he was a big part of Darkest Night and a big part of the DC Universe. So there's a lot, man.
There's so much good stuff characters that they could pull from. Yeah. I mean, that's the genius of this, like, why ever, however it waited so long, that there's such a wealth of content to go back and look at from all these amazing writers who wrote all these great books. So, I mean, we picked this year to kind of start doing our podcast, and we definitely have lots of content coming in the future. So, because of all this stuff that's coming out.
Yeah.
For sure.
Very exciting stuff. Well, Sean, you want to send us out, buddy?
Yes, sir. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This has been another fun-filled episode of 5280 Nerd, episode 26. If you guys have any questions or comments, you want to let us know what you think about this new DC universe and all, everything that's coming out. If you have a favorite character that you didn't hear that you'd like to see, you can reach us at 5280Nerd on Twitter. You can reach myself at Sean H. Porter. You can reach Micah at
Vash0077.
And like always, you can definitely check out our website. We have all of our episodes are cataloged on there. There's a little bit more information about us. There's also a contact page if you want to reach out to us anywhere you can. We love you guys. We hope you have a good week. And looking forward to some amazing movies.
Very excited. A lot of DC. We're very excited, guys. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week. Thank you.